Because he lives.
Down from lofty mountain grandeur.
Joyful.
Good morning, everyone. A welcome and a hearty welcome to everyone that is tuned in this morning to this message, and those that possibly will tune in later on at some time, maybe listening to it. May God bless you and bless me as I speak to you, and that you would receive the blessing from Him of what we need for our soul to further the strength and then to glorify God with that. May the grace of God and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the peace of His Holy Spirit be here with us this morning and with the ones listening out there. Amen. Today is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, everyone. Happy Father's Day. Not for everyone. Today will be that joy that we have, the ones that are sitting here and the ones that are listening and tuning in. We may, majority of us would maybe say, we are having a good, happy Father's Day. And the children are enjoying and the possibility of even spending some time with a father and parents today to celebrate that day. But today is also sadness in some people's hearts. As they, as a father, possibly give up a loved one, or possibly there's families that today do not have their loving father with them. Today morning, as many of us church members have heard, that Andreas Sawatsky, today morning, has given up his wife to be in glory. She's passed on from this life into eternity. And so my heart is burdened together with him as he sorrows the loss of a loving wife. And as he mentioned, and if I have it correct, within the last 2 weeks approximately, he mentioned that one-third of his family has now passed away within the last 2 weeks. And it's a burden. It's a heavy burden. And so we want to stop for a time of prayer and pray for this family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we come to you. We know we can call upon you. We know also that Andreas Sawatsky with his children, the family that he still has by his side, know that they can call upon you. And I believe strongly that they did and that they are. They're asking for comfort. They're asking for courage. They're asking you, O God, to help them through this troubled time. The road and the time in the last while for Andreas and the family to have gone through what they've gone through has been a tough one, a hard one. But Lord God, I pray, together with every believer, our heart is going out to them, and we pray for them that you'd keep them strong and make them stronger. Make them good warriors through this all, that they would come to be even stronger Christians than they were before. And that their walk would be drawn closer to you through this all. Give them courage, give them comfort, and help them in this time. And not just in this time, but in the time ahead. Lord, we pray that I pray this morning for the fathers. Help us, Lord, as fathers, to live a life that is pleasing and honoring to you. And that our wife can look to us and say, she has a good husband. And that our children can look up to us and honor us as we as children should honor the Father who is you. Help us, Lord, to be that light. Bless this message, Lord, that it would be a blessing to every father today morning, and touch the listeners of the mothers and the children also. I pray for your blessing upon it. Go out ahead of it already, before this message is even spoken, Lord, that you would already pour out your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. This text, I've chosen Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6. Proverbs 17, verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. This morning, I have a question. Children, I'm still a child. My mom is still alive. But as children, do we glory? Do we find glory in the Father that we have or that we had? Could we tune in with the writer of Proverbs and say, in the glory of children are their fathers? Do we walk around, and maybe I shouldn't use this word, but I'm going to say this word. Do we go around and we boast about the dad we have? Do we go to school? Do we go to our workplace and can we talk and say, hey, this is the dad I have. This is what he does for us. He can spend time with me. We can sit down beside the fire, outside, behind in that backyard or whatever. And I can ask dad a question. And dad is willing to listen. Dad is willing to give me an answer. And if dad doesn't know the answer, dad is honest with me and he says, I don't know. Do we glory in the Father that we have? Are we proud of the Father we have? I don't want to be negative necessarily, but some of us may say, I didn't have a father that I want to boast about. I couldn't glory in my father. My father was an alcoholic. My father was one that beat my mother. My father is one that never had time for me. It was all about his friends, his buddies. Or, let's not go that route even. Let's go to the route, my father never had time because all he did was work. Then I asked myself a question. If I would allow the time for my children to come up here and speak, what would they say about their dad? Sometimes I think all they would say is, Dad just worked. He never had time for me. It was all about the church, and it was all about work. So as fathers, what kind of role can we be for our children? I want to go through a few steps this morning. And the first and the most utmost important step for us as fathers is to recognize who we need to honor as fathers, first of all, before we even want our children to honor us. In Malachi chapter 1, is a great question. And when I read that, I had to ask myself that same question. What's important? Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. There's first part of it. It says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. Today, fathers, God is speaking to us. It's the last book of the Old Testament, and after that, there were a number of years, was quiet years, as nothing has been recorded or written in the Bible during that time. But a great question to end the Old Testament with, the last book of it, asking us as fathers, and generally he's speaking to everyone, but I want to especially speak to us as fathers. When a son honoreth his father and a servant his master, God is asking you and me as a father, where's my honor? Where's my honor? And the master, where's my fear? Do you respect me? Do you even have any interest in me, is what God would be asking. And am I any importance in your life? Maybe God today, if we could add some things to this, would be a question going like this, something like this. If you are my son, and I have you as a, given you the opportunity to be a father, and you are to follow in my steps, footsteps, is what God would say. Are you honored by your children? Do your children respect you and fear you and follow your teaching? Second thing I want to look into is, not first of all honoring God, but the second thing is, we as fathers are to be teachers. For us, it is so easy in this time of life to just send our children, you know, sometimes we might get an opportunity to say good morning to our children and wish them a good day before they're off to school. Possibly a lot of fathers don't even have that. They get up in the morning, they're already long gone by the time their children rise up and get ready to go to school. And so we expect the teachers of the school to teach them what they need. And we forget as fathers to teach our children. And Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. The writer writes here and he says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, nowhere in there does it say mom or dad, so we'll send him off to school. And before we know it, they possibly come home and they don't believe that there's a God. They believe the world just evolved. And so as a parent, as a father, I say that as a father, we can have the greatest impact on our own children. We are to train them up. We are to lead them. We are to guide them. But the training that the writer is writing about here is not the training of the worldly books, but it's the Bible. It's to train them who God is and what God did. And going back to Malachi 1, is to teach them to honor the Father, because we as fathers honor the Father who created us. We are to be teachers. We are to lead. Number three is to lead by example. We are to live a life that our children can look at us and walk around. And especially often you hear this saying, I want to be like Daddy. I want to do that type of work Daddy does. When the child is young, you often hear those things. Maybe not so much when they get older, when they realize that some of Dad's work isn't the greatest work. Maybe not their interest. But a lot of sons want to do what their father has done. And a lot of daughters, what their mother is like. When we look ourselves as fathers, would we want our children, our sons and our daughters, to follow our footsteps? I have to admit today morning, no, not everything. I would not want them to follow all the steps that I have made. I have failed numerous times. We are to lead by example. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, Paul writes this way, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2 and 3, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Another version writes it this way. You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. Verse 2. Am I a letter to my children? Is it written on my heart who I love? Am I known and am I read by everyone in my family? I'd say as a father, we are known and we are read by our children. But what is that they read? What do they see in my life that is good? Verse 3, you show that you are a letter from Christ. The result of your ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of a human heart. Friends, I can write everything down for my children and tell them, this is what you should be doing. And I go and do exactly different. It is not a letter from Christ. It is not a good result of the ministry that I should be to my children. It's not about the ink that we write down on a paper telling our children, this is what you need to follow. It's about our heart. Where is my heart? Do I have my heart in a good place that my children want to follow a good thing. Reminds me of a time that I've experienced a number of years ago, and I don't remember my son's age exactly, but I'm going to say he was about 14 years old. I am roughly guessing. And I can still recall it. I can still see where it was in the barn. We were working in the chicken barn. And all of a sudden, he lost his temper and was upset. And I don't know exactly what all happened, but he was upset. That I remember. And I looked at my son and I said, that's not how you should do it. That's not a good thing to do, to lose your cool and get angry. My son, without a hesitation, he looked at me and he said, but Dad, you do the same. I was quiet. I cried. And I realized that I was not a good light. I was not leading by example. My human heart was not there where it should always be, leading in love and in patience. People are reading us. Fathers, our children are reading us. Let's walk as an example so that our ministry that we have here on earth is a good ministry for our family. Next, I want to look at too, as a father, we are to be a provider for our family. Paul speaks to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, Paul says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. The infidel means is worse than an unbeliever. Jesus says in John chapter 3 that the unbelievers will not have eternal life. Then I ask myself, when Paul writes this, if we as a father do not provide for our own family, we are lazy and don't care. It tells us we're worse than an unbeliever. Will we as a father, if we're that type of father, will we have eternal life? Not according to Scripture. We often think, oh, an adulterer or one that murders. And some of those situations, we think, oh, we deal so much with that. But we forget about those that are lazy, that don't provide for their family. And there's many other reasons, but this one is one that I want to pick on. As a father, are we willing to go out and provide, if our health at least allows us to, go out and provide for our family? It's our duty. Next, I want to look to us as as a good and father, good and loving father. We are to discipline our children. Disciplining a child is not a joyful thing. We know that as fathers that have done that, it's not a joy. But that is something that Scripture teaches us that we ought to do. And Proverbs 13, verse 24, says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. You know, when there's a time and a need to discipline a child, we are to do that, not because we hate the son, but because we love the child. And so out of love, if every time that I discipline my child out of love. Fathers, I want to ask you a question. When you discipline your child, is your heart broken? Are your eyes filled with tears as you discipline that child? Or are you full of anger and you just swipe one lash after another lash because of anger? Out of love, I believe your heart is soft and you have tears as you need to punish. I have not always followed that, what I'm speaking about today morning. But I want to say of one occasion, we told our children that there's no complaining when we're going to leave this couple's place from this visit we're going to have tonight, where we often went to that couple's place. There was supposed to be no complaining from them. When it was time to leave, we're going to pack up, we're going to go home. And we want no fighting. And lo and behold, one of our children, our oldest daughter, put up a fit. And I asked her a question. Do you remember what we talked about before we went here? And she knew. And so on our way home, we had about a 20-minute, half-an-hour drive to home. We had a joyous time. We had a wonderful time. Laughing and just a great time with our children as we're going home. And as we get home, I'm reminded, I told my daughter, there's discipline for her behavior. So I asked her to go to the room where we always had our, we called it our, I guess, our discipline room that we had. And she went down, and our laughter changed to sorrow. I went downstairs. I recall that one so clearly. I sat down and I cried. I said to her, I told you if you were going to make a fuss when it was time to go home, we would have discipline at home. This hurts me more than it hurts you to do this to you. There are certain things in life that a child remembers, and I believe that is one that is with her still today as it reminds her of the brokenness that her dad had because he did not want to do it, but it was something he had to go through because he loved her. Fathers, it's not always easy, but when we do discipline, let's do it with love. And if not, I want to encourage you as fathers, walk away. Walk away until your heart is soft that you can discipline your child in a godly way with love, not because you hate that child, but because you love that child. Proverbs 22, verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Yes, as a child, and even as an adult many times, we are foolish. And we need to be corrected. We as adults get corrected from our Father in heaven. And possibly our spouse. And at times, as I shared before, even your own son. Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Paul writes this to the Hebrews. Hebrews 12, verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. But grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Fathers, we know that punishment is not an easy thing. It's no joy in it, but there's fruit that comes out of it. And that's why it's important for us to discipline you as children. And I would like to touch on the next thing. Fathers, spend time with your children. Spend time with them. In Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 to 9. Deuteronomy 6, 5 to 9. Read as follows. Actually, verse 4 starts off with Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in the book? No. It says in thine heart. It has to be inside of us. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, is to be inside, starting on the inside. And then he says, and thou, verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Spend time with your children, teaching them. Diligently unto thy children, we are to teach this. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by thy way, when thou liest down and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou and they shall be a frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on the gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. I went on to verse 10. There's something that you will receive. But we need to get out there and have the love of God inside of our heart. And then that not alone, but have it posted on our house, in our house, mostly on the temple, which we are, on our body. Does it show that I have the love of him in my heart? Him meaning God. The love in my soul. And with everything I do with love. You know, as I was reading this at home, I thought to myself, so many times it was so nice. Dora, my wife, just put up different, sometimes scripture verses. She had them on the fridge or on the wall in certain places, just written by hand, just a friendly reminder here and there. But something struck me because I was thinking as a father, and I thought to myself, have I ever failed? I do not remember, and maybe my wife and children do, but I do not ever remember taking a piece of paper and writing on there a scripture verse and hanging it in either in the bathroom or on the fridge or on the entrance wall. As a father, I believe I have failed, but not being the one to teach my children and to have them written on the walls of our house. Fathers, why do we expect our wives to do that? Why are we not as leaders the ones that take scripture and teach them to our children? Why not? This morning I see that the time is running away very quickly. And I have approximately halfway through what I want to speak about. I will close there for today. But Lord willing, next Sunday, I want to continue and to speak to us fathers. What are some other steps that are our duty? Today, I spoke about honoring the father as number one, being a teacher, then being example. Number four, being a provider for our hosts. Number five, being a loving father when we discipline. And number six, spending time with our children, teaching them godly things, whether word, verses, or our actions. But I want to, in closing, go back to the text that I started off with, out of Proverbs 17, verse 6. Proverbs 17, verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Children's children, who does that make it? My grandchildren, your grandchildren. If you should, or if you have grandchildren, it says the grandchildren are the crown of an old man. If you've never had grandchildren, you won't understand. But for me, being a grandfather, I love my grandchildren. They are the crown for me. Are they a jewel in my crown? Are they on my mind? Do we pray for them as a family, as a grandma and grandpa? Yes, we do. They are to be our crown. They are to be special, not just our own children, but even the grandchildren. And then it says, in the glory of the children are their fathers. Fathers, in closing, I want to ask you, are you a father that your child finds you are glorifying worth? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for a day that we could say the country has set aside, as we call it, a Father's Day. As we celebrate this day, Lord, I've shared some of your word. And I know they're very striking to me as a reminder. And just, I look into them and I just say, I've failed so many times. But God, I want to say thank you. For providing me with children that love you and I have a heart of forgiveness. Today I pray, Lord, is there a child that is listening, that is bitter towards their father? I pray, Lord, that first of all, that you would soften the father's heart and that the child may approach that father and ask that father for forgiveness for their bitterness towards him. And that the father would then and also in return apologize for his behavior. Lord, help us as fathers. Malachi talks about that the hearts of the fathers are supposed to be turned to their children. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be turned more to our children than to our worldly things. The desire of having a bigger boat, the desire of having a new truck, a better truck, a bigger truck, a bigger house with everybody's their own bedroom, so on and so forth, Lord. Help us that our desire would be more to spend time with our own children, our own family. For they are the glory. For they are part of our crown. Lord, thank you for this morning, for laying this on my heart. For it has touched me as I prayed, Lord, that you would touch me as well. I pray for your help and strength for us as fathers, to go out and to be that light for our children. This I pray in your most precious name. Amen. As I said this morning, time has run away. And I want to, Lord willing, continue with that next Sunday to finish that part of the message. So I want to close with a benediction. First of all, I say thank you, everyone, for coming. Thank you to everyone that's listening. And I pray, honestly, that this message will have been a blessing to everyone. And we know that the blessing only comes from God. And so I pray that God would give that to each and every one of us. And so I want to close with the last two verses out of Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you and me from falling, and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You may now go, but Lord, go with him. Go with him. Go with the Lord and be a light. Thank you for listening.